This is a podcast from Cambridge Assessment. For more downloads, visit cambridgeassessment.org.uk.
Russell Hobby, General Secretary of the National Association of Head Teachers, thank you for talking to the Cambridge Assessment podcast series today at our seminar, The Attack on Knowledge. What's your reaction to the concept of powerful knowledge, which Professor Young is discussing?
Well, I think we have in our education system a lot of conflict between the proponents of creativity on the one hand and factual knowledge and conceptual knowledge on the other. And that's in many ways a false debate. What I like about Professor Young's work is the emphasis that comes out of that on creativity and mastery flowing from knowledge within a particular domain, and that these domains actually do matter. They're the way we structure our knowledge as a society, and that as the universities develop and progress that knowledge, schools can then keep up with it using the same sort of structures. So I find that quite a helpful input to the debate, which is actually a very polarized debate.
So do we need subject-based knowledge still? Maths, history, chemistry?
I think we do, because it's within these subjects that we develop our thinking within those areas. Now, the boundaries of the subjects may be relatively arbitrary, but once those boundaries have been set, a large part of our social structure and generation of knowledge happens within them. Now, schools themselves are very rarely generating new knowledge. They're tasked with conveying the existing body of knowledge to young people. So I think they do need to work within those subject boundaries, which doesn't mean they can't cross them from time to time. It doesn't mean there isn't a place for cross-curricular activity, but I think we ignore subjects at our peril.
Now, Michael Young feels that we've taken some wrong turnings with the national curriculum in the past 10 years. Do you agree with him?
Well, again, with Professor Young and Tim Oates portraying a fairly strong critique, I think, of the more recent curriculum reforms, that we haven't had a level of precision that enables us to properly translate that into classroom practice. And I think there is some truth in that. On the other hand, schools make it work. Whatever's written down on the page of that, the programme of study, teachers possess a substantial discretion, I think. And therefore, many of the problems that might emerge in the government materials are corrected in the classroom. That therefore means that the job of a national curriculum, if it's a good curriculum, is to inspire teachers, not to instruct them. And actually, one of the things I worry about is that we've now taken a wrong turn on that one, because the way that the new curriculum has been communicated and presented to the profession has actually been a process of disengagement, about saying that their views are not respected and involved in that. So it may be that we've taken that wrong turning now rather than in previous years.
The new national curriculum to be put in place from September this year places a much stronger emphasis on powerful knowledge, that phrase that Michael Young uses. What's your reaction to that?
Well, in theory it does, in terms of the way it's written down. But once again, the government has emphasised that the delivery of the curriculum is at the discretion of the hands of the school and the teacher. So the structure of the knowledge, both in terms of subject areas but also in terms of annual progression, is very much in line with that. But there's nothing to stop a school delivering that in cross-curricular ways. And indeed, within the boundaries of the key stage, there's nothing to stop them reordering the delivery of that either. So it may be that schools develop different ways of enacting this curriculum. Whether that's a good or bad thing is another matter. And once again, what I think we need to do is get more insight into the hands of teachers as to why this new curriculum has been created as it has.
Isn't it politicised?
Yes, and to an extent it should be. I know there's always calls for the depoliticisation of education, but what could be more political than the subjects and topics that our children study? If democratic politicians don't have some say on that, as a father and as an employer, I would be very worried. I want teachers to have a say in it too, but it can't be decided behind closed doors. So curriculum development is always going to be fairly extensively politicised, but there's a good politics and bad politics, and where the politics is one of confrontation and an adversarial nature that seeks to imply that teachers are somehow not good enough, I think you sacrifice the key resource that underpins a curriculum, which is the excitement and engagement of teachers.
Well, you seem to be saying, in terms of Michael Young's ideas, the curriculum and powerful knowledge, that you're fairly happy with things as they are at the moment. But how do you think your members might react to Michael Young's ideas? Do teachers have the support to keep up with developments in subject specialist knowledge, particularly in primary schools?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm entirely happy with the way things are at the moment. I'm just slightly cynical about the current processes of communication. I do think that we have lost track of the role of knowledge within our education system, and I welcome what Michael Young is saying about this. I support the notion of subject boundaries, degrees, and I support the role of knowledge as being a key feature in the curriculum. The danger is that that hasn't been sold to the teaching profession, and that they're still caught up in some of the debates. What I think we need to do is to begin again as to what role we see knowledge playing in leading to creativity and taking control of your own life. And not enough of that has been said.
So if I'm to sum up your position, you're in favour of Professor Young's critique, you're in favour of powerful knowledge, of it entering the curriculum again. But then what role for personal social education, IT, media studies?
Yes, I think you're right. I do favour the return of knowledge to the debate and it playing an enhanced role within the education system. But I don't think you need to drop the other aspects of an education. And what is important to emphasise is that schools are here for many purposes, and that actually, left to their own devices, schools can usually fit all of these purposes in. The issue about personal development, the competences, the behaviours, the values and the attitudes, which are such an important part of success in life, is that they're more about the way you teach things than specific subject content themselves. I wouldn't want to see a lesson on resilience, for example, in school. What I would want to see is that the way schools work with young people, helping to build their resilience. So it's about the culture, it's about the interactions between students and between students and adults that govern much of that, and indeed much of the extracurricular activity as well. So actually, schools can cram a great deal in. That doesn't mean you teach specific lessons on some of these social and emotional aspects.
And so you don't think, or Michael Young has a point about the last 10 years taking us in the wrong direction in education in the classroom?
Well, I understand the critique. I just think that in reality, whatever the written curriculum might say, schools have continued to deliver knowledge and basic skills within the curriculum. And part of the danger has been that introducing the new national curriculum, the government is trying to portray the education establishment as a hotbed of progressive ideas. And yet schools continue to teach grammar, continue to teach punctuation, continue to use rote learning on times tables and that sort of thing. So the reality of what's going on in schools is perhaps not something that we should have been as afraid of. And actually, we might have got more purchase for the new curriculum if we'd acknowledged that it was building on best practice in schools.
Now, one think tank has said that knowledge is an equaliser, it's not elitist. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do. Because actually, the natural distribution of knowledge in our society is unequal, and that some people are taught from a very early age how the world works, how to get what they want. They almost inhale that as part of the context in which they're brought up. So we need to provide additional knowledge to those that don't get it. And I very much accept the view that the teaching of knowledge can be an equaliser, because we start from unequal levels in the first place.
Michael Young, marks out of 10?
9 out of 10.
Russell Hobby, General Secretary, NAHT, National Association of Head Teachers, thank you very much indeed for talking to the Cambridge Assessment Podcast series today on the attack on knowledge.
Thank you.
This is a podcast from Cambridge Assessment. For more downloads, visit cambridgeassessment.org.uk.